I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler alongside the queen of Atlanta sports radio, Sandra Golden, on this beautiful Wednesday morning in downtown Atlanta. That's right. Once again, we are at the College Football Hall of Fame for SEC Media Days. And wow, what a week it's been in the city of Atlanta. Had a lot of fun watching the All-Star game down at Truist Park last night, Sandy. And today, we got a bunch of activity right here at Media Days. Alabama, Mississippi State, Florida, and Oklahoma on the schedule. How are you, ma'am?
I'm fabulous, and great to have you alongside. I liked your energy. You're trying to do the, and, like, it's hard to do because
yes.
Everybody, we're on Radio Row,
can't
and everybody
scream
scares
it out
us.
Right here like we do in the studio, acting like fools.
Right. We're on late a little. Thanks, y'all, because we wanted to make sure we got Tony Barnhart, the legend, in with the morning shift.
Mr. College Football.
Yeah. Drew got caught up in traffic, so he walked in this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
Didn't you want to punch me right in the face because I was just... Boom, boom, boom. Guess what? Did you hear this? And I know. I'm a lot.
No, because I woke up this morning excited and exuberant to be able to work with you. We don't work together enough. You look phenomenal.
Oh,
love your
sweet
outfit.
Thank
love the pictures you guys posted yesterday as well. Steak, of course, on vacation. He's going to go see the baby Sophie overseas. So I'm sure he had an awesome week before he dipped out of town as well. But, man, it's been an unbelievable week in the city of Atlanta. How about the city just showing out last night for the MLB All-Star game at Truist Park? I'm glad the weather held up. You know, I live a bit north, so we had some showers later on in the afternoon, but the scene looked incredible. Ludacris, Jermaine Dupri, Kane Brown, Zach Brown Band with the national anthem, the flyover, and then, of course, the drama late with the first ever swing-off to decide the winner of the All-Star game. I loved it. We'll talk about it a bunch more in the next segment, but I thought Atlanta did a phenomenal job hosting the Midsummer Classic.
Multiple times during the evening, and I was there from start to finish. I think all of the Atlanta folks were. Chill bumps. I got emotional during the Hank era.
Oh, my man. I mean,
literally
awesome.
Started to tear up. I know y'all wanted to call me Freddie Freeman, and I was like, wow. By the way, the applause for Ronald Acuna made me have chill bumps. Way to go, Atlanta.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I think it's Derek Schiller and his whole camp with Atlanta Braves. And I know MLB comes over and comes in and takes over. They at least do the ticket part of it. But the creative staff that put that together and the real flavor of the Dirty South, man, it's everything from Zach to Kane to Jermaine Dupri. And that's what we needed at the Super Bowl. I know you can't go back and change it, but that was as special as applause all the way around last night.
No question. I mean, John Smoltz himself even said after that Hank Aaron tribute, quote, that was one of the coolest things I have ever seen. That came across perfectly on television. If you were in the stadium, call in. Let us know what the atmosphere was like last night, because from a viewer spectator, it was awesome.
404-726-0929. And I call myself a busybody, Drew. Like, I try to find out all the stuff. What are y'all doing? What's going to be special? That did not get out. That Hank Aaron,
no,
7:15, to my knowledge, like, it was not whispered. And you know that the other moment of the Stand Up to Cancer, I really think that is about as well done as you can do it. And then I was watching on TV, and those of y'all watching, you could see the in and the out was with the Jonas Brothers, who participated and
yes.
took care of. From start to finish, I can't remember watching an All-Star game like that.
Yeah. I did the exact same. Stayed up all the way.
The mic'd up
until
with
the end.
Pitcher.
So cool. Clayton
Y'all,
Kershaw
didn't you love
talking
that?
With John Smoltz and the catcher connected up to the broadcasting booth. They did an awesome job. You mentioned Derek Schiller. Did you know this? Derek Schiller's dad, Harvey Schiller, was the SEC commissioner
yes.
in 1986.
Yes.
You're sitting here at SEC Media Day. So congrats to Derek Schiller and everybody at the Atlanta Braves for hosting the All-Star game. It tied 6-6. National League was up 6-0 after six innings. And then it went into that swing-off. Kyle Schwarber shows out. He ends up getting the MVP, correct?
We had to cheer for Philly, and that's upsetting. But
I know.
Listen, we're going to get into more of the swing off, because if Major League Baseball doesn't wake up this morning and go, huh, that's a great idea.
Exactly.
For sure. And I had a tweet last night that I think it has over 9,000 views at this point.
Okay.
Where I had the audacity. I don't even think it's the audacity. It's how I really feel. Freddie Freeman never should be a L.A. Dodger, period. And there was half the camp that was right. You're 100% right.
I mean, he teared up last night.
Again, y'all. We're going to play it for you.
Again. He did it.
He loves it here.
He does.
But it's egos got involved on both sides. But, I mean, I'm not making some massive statement line in the sand. I'm saying my true feelings are he never should have left. Because it wasn't that big a difference in money. It's just
not.
So that made a big deal. I'm talking about the headlines now because I know we got to fly to a break. But what jumped out at you yesterday from Kirby and Gunner, who I'm not sure that Gunner wasn't an AI because he said absolutely nothing. And by the way, Georgia fans, that's the greatest compliment I can give y'all, that he didn't say boo.
No question. I think Coach Kirby Smart, whenever he comes to SEC Media Day, he has a message that he wants to get across. One, to everybody here, the media. Two, to his team. And three, to really the Georgia fan base. And yesterday, he kind of stole the show with the tagline of relationships over transactions. That's what we build this football program on. In this new era of college football, that's what we pride ourselves on, because we know that's what's going to allow us to continue playing for national championships. Relationships over transactions, and then fire, passion, and energy. We want football players, right? We don't want guys who just want to come get a bag of money. We want people who want to get hardly coached, they want to be developed, and they want to put their hand on the pile to win a lot of football games. So I thought Kirby Smart once again came in, delivered a perfect message to kind of take this football team into training camp. And when it comes to Gunnar Stockton, you know, the jury is still out. They have not named him the starter. He knows that. The coaching staff knows that. I think the fan base should understand that. I'll be really interested to see how the storylines progress throughout training camp, how Ryan Puglisi, the assumed backup, looks throughout training camp as well. But here's where Kirby loves the personality of Gunnar Stockton. Probably reminds him a lot of Stetson Bennett, right? A Georgia guy at heart. Jake Fromm as well, a Warner Robins guy. Gunner's from up north in Tiger, Georgia. Stetson was from down southwest in Blackshear, Georgia. These are the guys that get it. They work hard. They're going to respect leadership. They're going to command the attention of their teammates. Kirby knows that he'll be able to coach him much differently than he had to coach Carson Beck over the last 2 years.
Expand on that, because you were talking about the coddling of Carson.
Yeah. There was a huge coddling of Carson. In the media specifically, when Carson Beck went through his rut last year, throwing interceptions what seemed like every other drive, if you would have put Stetson Bennett in that situation on the field when Kirby was his coach, Kirby would have shot him into the atmosphere. He would have ripped him off the field. He would have chewed him out on the sideline. For some reason, you never saw that with Carson Beck. I think Kirby knew that he had to manage Carson differently. Carson obviously talked to the media differently as well. You never heard Kirby really question what Carson was doing on the field. I'm not saying that he should have. This is your starting quarterback, and maybe he knew Gunner was not ready to be able to step in and perform at the level that they wanted during the middle of the season. But you look at how Kirby managed a Jake Fromm, a Stetson Bennett, and then it was different with Carson. I think he's going to be back with Gunner Stockton to the way he managed those guys like Fromm, like Stetson, and really kind of hold their feet to the fire to have that standard so high. So I look forward to it, whether it is Gunner or Ryan Puglisi, but it just made me think of the juxtaposition, how Carson was coached the past 2 years.
I'm actually shocked that you're making this a topic, because you know somebody's going to hear this and go, there's a quarterback competition. Because I really felt like that's why they brought Gunner.
Yeah.
So they don't want to deal with that. So I know you're into the wagering. You're very good at it. By the way, did you take the over last night?
I did not.
So Steak, if you were listening yesterday, Steak's in Barcelona right now. Can't wait to see him doing the salsa dancing. He said the number was 7.
That's right.
To take the over, and it, of course, came in.
It was 6-0 in the sixth inning, and then, of course, it finished up 6-6.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You didn't do it, though.
I did not do
it. So if you had, I'm not even going to make it a lot of money, $100 on who's the starting quarterback.
Oh, Gunnar Stockton.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I would say Gunnar Stockton.
Okay.
We'll see.
Oh, my God. Why are you doing this to me?
Why are we doing this? We are live at SEC Media Days right here at the College Football Hall of Fame. Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer on the podium right now. I'm staring at Paul Feinbaum's shiny bald head below us on the SEC Network set. It's the Steakhouse on a Wednesday. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Schwarber in the air to center field, headed towards the wall, and dead center.
That's huge for the National League.
They're within one. So there you go. He said if he could get it on his first swing, and he did. Oh! Schwarber's in the All-Star game. Tied at three.
MVP material if he gets the third one right here.
AL rallied in the game. NL has rallied in the swing. Oh! With the hat trick! Look out, Chop House! National League takes the lead 4-3.
Great scenes from the swing-off last night at the 2025 MLB All-Star Game right here in Atlanta at Truist Park. The first ever swing-off, and if you were rooting for the National League, you had to root for a Philadelphia Philly. Kyle Schwarber putting on a show, three home runs.
I could be here all day.
On three swings, 9:25 a.m. on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Drew Butler alongside Sandra Golden right here on the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game live at the College Football Hall of Fame. 2025 SEC Media Days. Kalen DeBoer, Alabama head coach, on the podium right now. Yes, we will discuss plenty of college football topics. Georgia was here yesterday. Florida will be here later on this afternoon. But, Sandy, we got to recap what went down at Truist Park last night, because I thought, sitting from my couch, both Monday night, the Home Run Derby, and last night for the actual All-Star game, Atlanta really showed out. They did a phenomenal job hosting the Midsummer Classic. From Kane Brown, Ludacris, Jermaine Dupri kicking things off, Zach Brown with the national anthem, Freddie Freeman tearing up again. I mean, it was awesome. The Hank Aaron tribute, John Smoltz said it, one of the coolest things he's ever seen in his life.
A-plus. It was an absolute A-plus night for Atlanta and the Braves and Major League Baseball. You got it right. The more access to those players. I mean, I know another handful of players by name and what they look like.
Yeah.
I loved the uniforms, right?
Yes.
Like, please bring back their uniforms. We were screaming for that. But I'm very serious when I say that swing-off.
So
you want
cool.
to talk about the younger audience being now involved. What is so crazy that if we said, if you're tied after nine, let's have a swing off?
Absolutely.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, because, I mean, you could easily replace that in some instances with whatever they're doing now. You put the runner on second. You know, that could still be confusing to some viewers. The swing off is not confusing. It's extremely exciting. I was a bit miffed as to why Aaron Boone selected the players that he
yeah.
didn't. You said you were hearing that some
so
players were leaving.
Not some. A lot of players left, y'all, because they were catching flights, which I totally
yeah,
get.
I mean,
now, it's 11-something,
right?
Right?
You get a week off. Yes,
yeah.
It was late. I mean, that thing started probably at about 11:25 p.m.
That's
last
right.
night.
So I get it. And according to people behind the scenes, said a lot of players were gone. Now, I didn't see that on the field or anything, and I don't know that for a fact. But I do get that part. Also, like, okay, Dave Roberts, there's Matt Olson, but
I know.
Maybe because they were in the Home Run Derby, they didn't.
Maybe
it's like, let's not try to do this to them again. But Kyle Schwarber, and there
oh,
I am cheering
goodness.
For Kyle Schwarber. What is wrong with me?
And then Pete Alonso didn't even have to go. He was in the three
yeah.
spot for the National League. Of course, the Polar Bear up there playing for the New York Mets. So
real quick,
Dave Roberts,
Acuna 1-for-2. He had a single. Matt Olson 0-for-1. But we're not talking enough about the ninth inning stab and grab.
Huge.
Matt Olson saved a run in the top of the ninth.
Absolutely, game would have been over,
NL
would have had to score again to push it into the swing off. So a great defensive play. He flashed the glove there to save a run. Matt Olson did, but 0-for-1 in his limited time in the lineup. Dave Roberts, the NL manager, selects three NL East players for the swing-off. It was, a Marlin, the young kid from the Marlins, and then Schwarber and Pete Alonso. I mean, I saw some immediate reaction on social media as to people going, well, how on earth could you do this and not mandate Aaron Judge to be in there for the AL and Shohei Ohtani to be in there for the National League? But to your point, I mean, these guys have plans. They got to get back to their families. Of course, Major League Baseball starts up again this Friday. The Braves will be hosting the New York Yankees here at the Battery in Truist Park. So a lot of festivities continuing on right here in Atlanta. That should be a great series. I hope the Braves show up.
Not only that, because this is another moment for me to say I'm so happy for Max Fried. I got to know him a few times, just interview-wise, and he's a Jewish young man, and he's just terrific. That has nothing to do with anything other than I like him a lot. But he stood, y'all, yesterday outside that red carpet for over 40 minutes signing every single autograph. He went down a lot, as far as you could see doing it, because that's just the guy that he is. We know he's pitching. He'll pitch against the Braves.
Very cool.
I don't know who's pitching for the Braves coming up this weekend. It doesn't have a name listed. So Junior Richie or J.R. Richie got the call up to Gwinnett.
Saw that.
So keep your eye on that. So
will Max Fried cry on the pitcher's mound before his
first
pitch?
He will not.
Okay.
Let me tell you what he's not going to do is cry.
Okay, so Freddie Freeman
last night.
I know
you in state hate Freddie Freeman crying.
Okay, Freddie Freeman last night. What's the old saying? No crying on the yacht, right? Like, you know, I'll give Fox a bunch of credit. I thought Fox's broadcast of the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was phenomenal. I'm a huge Joe Davis fan. John Smoltz, obviously awesome. Love Kevin Burkhardt being down there on the field. Awesome. And they really did a good job, to your point, Sandra, of getting to talk to these players, let the personality show, have some real-life conversations with them. So they went down to Freddie Freeman before the game started.
Mm-hmm. It was the first interview.
First interview, and Freddie Freeman.
By the way, the ovation for Freddie was as loud as Ronald Acuna.
Of course it was.
It just was.
But
why
the guy
does that
starts
you?
Tearing up
But why does
again?
That bother you so much?
Because you left us. You left the Atlanta Braves. You took gobsmacking amounts of money. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. Do not cry in your Wheaties when you come back to Atlanta and you're wearing a Dodgers hat and you've got another World Series championship. That, to me, just rubs me the wrong way because it's like, when is it going to end? He's going to do it every single time. Freddie Freeman is a very wealthy, very good baseball player, but he's also
Did you hear John Gordon talk about money doesn't equal value, money doesn't equal life? He has a nice contract, so let's just play it. And I think there's a ton of people in your camp, and there's a ton of people in my camp of let the men cry.
Let's hear Freddie.
In fact,
Freeman.
I pride myself on I can make a man cry. Here's Freddie with Ken Rosenthal.
I could be here all day talking to these fans. You guys mean yeah. Thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. My first 12 years, I got to spend in this wonderful city. So you guys gave me standing ovations when I've come back. You guys cheered for me, watched me before I became a father and a husband, and now back here as a husband and father with three awesome boys. So thank you guys for everything, and hopefully I can get another hit for you guys tonight.
Good for Freddie Freeman. What were you saying, money can't buy happiness?
True.
I've never heard a poor person say that. So let's give Freddie Freeman another round of applause. I appreciate you, Freddie Freeman. Thanks for everything you did for the city of Atlanta. But we need to move past the tears.
I've moved past it, and you guys are missing the point. And Matt Olson is as good as it gets. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if we were on the playground this morning and you get to pick first and Matt and Freddie are standing there, who you picking?
Freddie Freeman.
Enough said. Enough said. 100%.
Absolutely.
So, hold on a second. I felt like the what he meant to Atlanta, the World Series,
yes.
the final out. I mean, that's for, he's going to be in the whatever the Braves Hall of Fame. His number's going to be
of
retired.
Course.
His contract's up in 2 years. It wouldn't surprise me if he's back. Okay, all of that.
I would love that.
Two things can be true, though.
Yes, two things can definitely be true. And yes, we're having fun and being a little tongue-in-cheek. But I certainly understand the ties that he has here from a family perspective. His wife's from here.
Yes.
His son was born here. Mm-hmm. Now everything that they've been through, and thankfully they're on the other side of that, every right to be emotional in that scene, too. So I'm sure he had a great time back here in Atlanta. Of course, he played well also. So shout out to Freddie Freeman.
Bo, our resident Braves beat reporter / bartender, is telling me that Max Fried left his game on Saturday with a blister. So he might not be pitching.
Wow.
So thank you for that, Bo. Max Fried is awesome. I just thought, again, to put a bow on that. Mm-hmm. Fabulous night in Atlanta.
So cool.
The moment where, if you didn't get chills when Kane Brown began to sing Georgia on My Mind and what was happening in those
so
stands.
Cool. So cool.
Crank that up, ladies.
Yeah, he did a great
crank
job.
It up,
and
ladies.
You said,
I want to make Drew cry this morning. It's going to be my honor.
Just an old sweet song.
Oh, yeah.
Kane Brown doing an awesome
Georgia
job.
On my mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, in your car, pull over and wave your hands. Wave your hands out front. Well done, Georgia.
Yes,
we'll
very,
I hope
well
I can
done.
Get to see another one in my lifetime in Atlanta, because it may be like 35 years, 30, you know, you never know. So.
They did good enough to where they might be able to bring it back sooner than that. And the Hank Aaron tribute, which was kept extremely under wraps as well. Simply phenomenal. Came across so well on the television broadcast. So congratulations to everybody for getting things off without a hitch. Shout out to Atlanta, to the Braves, to Major League Baseball for putting on an amazing Midsummer Classic right here in our backyard. Kalen DeBoer still on the podium here at SEC Media Days. Head coach of Alabama. Mississippi State is up after him. Florida and Oklahoma this afternoon. When we come back from the break, we're going to break down everything that happened yesterday. Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs were here. CJ Allen, Gunnar Stockton, Dalen Everett. The storylines are fast and furious as SEC Media Days kicks off. Talk-in season, the college football season, Sandra, is just a couple of short weeks away. I cannot wait. That's it right after the break. Drew Butler and Sandra Golden. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Keeps Georgia on my mind. On my mind.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
.940 This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden, live at the College Football Hall of Fame in Atlanta, Georgia at SEC Media Days.
Seems like a lot of people recognize you around here, these parts.
Yeah, I know quite a few people here. Some guys I played with, some guys I played against, some people I've worked with.
Yep.
And I used to do a show here inside the College Football Hall of Fame.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
Called Campus Lore Live. So we used to have little studio setups all over this place. We'd come do it on Monday night. So I know Kimberly Bowden, the CEO, who we had on Monday morning, Steak and I did right here.
Yep.
On the Steakhouse. But yeah, great seeing everybody. Greg McElroy over here. I've played golf with Greg before. Great guy. Cole Kubelik, Josh Pate down the other way.
Yeah.
So there's just a bunch of people here. Over 1,200 credentialed media members. And you said it. I'll also say it. Pretty surprised at looking at Kalen DeBoer in person. He looks better than I thought.
He is.
He looks
something better
than I thought. I was like,
he's
okay.
He's Kalen DeHot, is what he is. I'm telling you right now.
He walked right by us. I mean, he's
y'all,
a taller
I was like,
guy.
Who is that?
He's tan. I mean, I could never achieve that.
I would
that
tell
type
his stylist to let's start, you know, getting some lemon of the Lulu in the action.
Yeah.
And maybe get a medium, not that large, because the recruits and mama's going to like that. That's
there
all
you
I'm
go.
Saying.
There you go. So Kalen DeBoer here. He just got off the podium. Now the Alabama players are down on the Peach Bowl field right here talking with media members, Mississippi State. will be up next. But yesterday was a huge day.
Wait, you we got to talk about, since we're doing Kalen, we got to talk about y'all this morning.
Yes, please.
Okay, so
please.
Kalen sat down with the morning shift, and Bo, who is on it, it was like, hey, tell us about Michael Penix. And y'all, sit back, Falcon fans, turn up your radio. You're going to love this.
You just said something about me making him. He made me, too. You know, I mean, together we did it. You know, some amazing things. And I just saw him a couple weeks ago. He, you know, if there's a lot of players that are super special to you. But because of his journey and what we accomplished together and his faith and confidence to come up to Washington at the time when, you know, maybe staying close to home and, you know, the career kind of going a certain direction at that point. Just meant so much. And so, yeah, he actually came over a couple weeks ago, spent the night at the house, and you know, we had dinner with a bunch of the others that he knows well that came down from Washington too. So I'm super excited about what this next year is for him. You know, when he gets comfortable and familiar with an offense, those tools that he has will take over. And so I'm excited for this next round.
A great cut there from Kalen DeBoer, Alabama's head football coach, who, of course, was Washington's head football coach, where Michael Penix Jr. took the Huskies to a national championship game. And also, he was at Indiana with Michael Penix Jr. So he has known Michael Penix for a very, very long time. I'm sure their mutual respect for one another is extremely high, as you just heard Kalen DeBoer discussing right there. But that leads into the bigger talking point of what the expectations are for Michael Penix Jr. this season as the starter of the Atlanta Falcons. And I was listening to Steak and our producer Bo Johnson getting into it as Bo was on his show Sunday night saying, hey, we just don't know. And of course, we all know Steak likes to look at things through that lens as well.
He likes to look through the gambling lens.
No. That's right. And look, Penix Jr. had three games at the end of last season, and the argument was easily made and could still be easily made that he should have gotten the ball a lot sooner when things were going awry for Kirk Cousins. But to me, Sandra, when you watch Michael Penix, how he processes information, how he goes through his reads, how he manages things pre-snap, and then most importantly, how he throws the football, I think the Falcons are in pretty good hands.
Not only that, the behind the scenes are, and you just heard Kalen talking about when he gets that playbook and his confidence, he doesn't have those happy feet. He is calm, cool, and collected. He is very settled in the huddle from what I hear. He has it. He owns it. You know, and some quarterbacks don't own that huddle as we're watching quarterback right now. So, but I thought a lot, and maybe this is a weird transition, but I was listening to Arch Manning yesterday. We don't know anything about him either,
no,
by the way.
No,
he's played in a dozen games, and half of them didn't matter nothing.
And he actually said that himself. He said, I have not earned this, talking about kind of the media circus that was following him yesterday. I mean, Paul Feinbaum almost fell out of his chair trying to give Arch Manning a handshake as he was walking by.
I wasn't sure what you were going to say. I'm glad you said handshake. I wasn't sure.
Yes,
where
indeed.
Going with that.
Yes, indeed. So a lot of attention, and rightfully so, that Kalen DeBoer is giving to Michael Penix Jr., who will be the Falcons starting quarterback this year. But this latest NFL draft, the Atlanta Falcons selected, they got back into the first round at the end of the first round and selected James Pierce Jr.
Some say gave up too much, i.e. a first rounder for next year.
I would not be in that camp. I think they did the right thing to address the pass rushing issue. James Pierce Jr., edge rusher out of Tennessee, and one of his former teammates was here yesterday, Bryson Eason, a current defensive tackle at Tennessee. He was asked about James Pierce Jr., and this is what he had to say.
Man, somebody who is going to disrupt the edge and disrupt the quarterback. He's got a lightning speed, get off, real physical, not afraid to put his head in them trenches, you know what I'm saying? Has a huge bag when it comes to like pass rush moves, and a great locker room guy. There's been a lot of rumors that I've seen about my guy James Pierce, but he's a great dude, great guy, you know what I'm saying? Very passionate about the game, loves the game to a T. Very smart when it comes to the game, you know what I'm saying? So he's going to be a true professional and a true game wrecker when his time comes, and I know it's coming soon. I'm expecting for him to make a huge impact his rookie year and get some sacks and get some TFLs and just be a huge guy to help Atlanta Falcons have a winning season.
Music to my ears. That is exactly what every Atlanta Falcons fan has wanted. Bryson Eason just set the expectation.
And game
I
record.
Think Pierce Jr. being alongside Jalen Walker. Those two guys being able to push and develop one another, that right there is what will make the difference in terms of those two rookies having an immediate impact. That is huge flowers from Bryson Easton right there.
Game wrecker, lightning get off. He works beside him every day.
Quote, has a huge bag with pass rushing moves. Love that.
So I don't know if you guys I watched a ton of SEC Media Day yesterday. Just I kind of had it on the background,
right,
Drew. But Kirby was asked about Jalen Walker on multiple accounts. And his words are, because they're like, who's replacing that guy? He goes, you can't replace a Jalen Walker.
100%.
And he goes, what he's about to do with the Atlanta Falcons in the NFL. And, you know, Kirby really kind of doesn't go on and on. He doesn't want to even set up the kids to you know, not do well.
Right.
But I was like, y'all, if we got James Pierce and Jalen Walker right, and Michael Penix is the guy.
All right, now you're getting ahead of your skis, Sandra. Now you're getting ahead of your skis.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's going to be a fun,
we're going to make something
season.
Y'all, there's something called the playoffs, and we might be in it.
Just win more than 8 games, please. Let's get a winning record.
So, you know, I'm going
year.
To Vegas in 2 weeks.
I will be there in 4 weeks. What are you doing in Las Vegas?
Name that Vegas. Oh, sorry. Do you really want to know?
I do want to know.
So, Jackie, your wife, is going to call me and want to go with.
Uh-oh.
Backstreet Boys at the
Sphere. Oh, there you go. I've been seeing those videos. It looks pretty awesome.
Kelly Clarkson at MGM, the residency.
Sweet.
So, yeah. So, anyway, sidebar. But I did think about it. I told my husband, I go, we've taken the over on the Falcons each year, and it was 8.5 last year.
Okay.
But we drink this Kool-Aid, y'all. I mean, and then I listen to people. Vegas has us at 7.5.
I know.
I'm going to cry. I'm totally going to cry for
sure. Georgia's at 9.5.
That was
heavily juiced to the over, but yes, you know, overpays like -160, so you got to put a lot out there to get something back. But Georgia, right now, they're
by the way, Greg McElroy,
I'm
looking over your shoulder at Greg McElroy, who was on TV yesterday approximately 96 hours. But that was one of the subjects he was on with Jordan, and then 9.5, take the over.
Greg said
and
that.
Greg said, take the over.
And Jordan Rogers also threw a bunch of flowers at Gunnar Stockton as well. He's kind of been one of the media members that went out on a limb to say Gunnar Stockton is the right guy to lead Georgia's offense. I did an interview yesterday, and they were asking about what will be different this year in terms of Georgia's offense. Obviously, a lot of unknowns at the quarterback position. I said Georgia and the coaching staff specifically, they made hires to definitely address what went wrong in the run game a year ago. The offensive line play was a bit inconsistent. Of course, the running back room was decimated by injuries, but knowing maybe some of Gunner's liabilities, they're going to put a huge emphasis on making sure the run game is good, and I expect a guy like Oscar Delp to have a big season as well as that tight end security blanket for a young quarterback.
What are the liabilities for Gunner as you sit here on June the 16th?
I mean, inexperience is obviously one of them. I want to know what his arm strength is. Mm-hmm. Can he push the ball down the field? Can he fit it into tight windows? You know, he did what he had to do in the second half of the SEC championship game a year ago. And I said this on Monday, Georgia fans, your perspective on what success is needs to be rethinked, because if you ask a lot of them, they'd say last year was a disappointment. You were the SEC champions.
Right.
You won the conference. You beat Texas twice. Of course, a disastrous end of the first half, start of the second half in the Sugar Bowl. You give up 17 points in 54 seconds to Notre Dame. You're never going to come back from that. But I'll be interested to see how Gunner can throw the football on the route tree. Nobody's seen it. I do know Puglisi has a big arm. I just don't know if he's got that experience either. So a lot to be said during training camp for sure.
The personality that is Gunnar Stockton, and obviously Rusty knows all the ins and outs, but he's the one who says he is the dog out there. Like, this golly gee whiz. Now, I'm not going to say much.
Okay.
I'm going to have some dimples and say all the right things.
Well, lead by example.
He's not that guy on. By the way, that's Mark Richt 101, and you would know better than anybody.
Absolutely.
Mark Richt, he was Bible in hand, but when he got out there on the field, it was game on. It was game face.
Here's the key for Gunner, and if the teammates are saying that, that's ultra important, because you just don't want to be seeming fake to your teammates, especially in the media.
No, that's a good point.
If he is a dog and those guys know what to expect during practice, throughout the week, in the meeting rooms, and then, of course, on game day, he has set that expectation. And if he gains the trust of his teammates to be that type of guy in the heat of battle, but then they know they can be honest with him and he won't run to the media and be a different person. That is totally fine by me.
That's funny that you say that, because I was thinking about even the personalities of quarterbacks at Georgia since I can remember. The David Green, the Aaron Murray, the Jake Fromm, yep. the Stetson Bennett, the Gunnar Stockton. They are more alike than Carson was.
Carson was stuck out like a sore thumb.
I know, but I'm not even knocking Carson, because sometimes you do need a little edge around
the place. I know. You're a Florida girl, and I think this is the rub right here. Carson Beck did not vibe with the Georgia fan base at all. It's just as simple as that. The tattoos, the Lamborghini, he's from Florida.
Right.
He's in week 12 saying, I don't watch football games because it gives me anxiety. You can't say that as the quarterback of Georgia football. Everybody's like, what?
I got you.
What did you just say?
Yeah, I got you.
Georgia fans live and breathe football. That, of course, is not what they want their starting quarterback to say when he's throwing three interceptions week in and week out. Gunnar Stockton is one of Georgia's people. That's just how it is, and I'll be really interested to see how the fan base really gets attracted to him throughout the season.
You like this Ryan Puglisi, though. All somebody listening is going to get on those game day dog boards and bark up a tree, get it, bark, and say, Drew Butler said there's going to be a quarterback controversy.
I have no idea, but I'm excited to see what storylines come out, because Kirby Smart wants that competition as well. There's no doubt about it. That's what he's built this program on. Here at SEC Media Days, fire, passion, energy.
Right.
We value relationships over transactions. That phrase right there, relationships over transactions, is something that will be repeated, put on poster boards, maybe even up on billboards to say, this is how Georgia's different. And I mentioned this to Rusty and Steak on Monday. The benefit of Kirby Smart being able to say that, Sandra, is he actually has the playbook as to how it plays
out. Exactly.
You're not walking into a parent's living room or speaking with a potential recruit and just talking the talk. You're out there saying, if you do this, these things will happen.
Yeah.
And that's why Nick Saban was so successful for such a long time at Alabama. So he laid down the law yesterday. I thought he did a phenomenal job. And Alabama trying to do the same right now, right behind us at the College Football Hall of Fame, as we broadcast live from SEC Media Days.
There was a moment later in the day when Texas rolled through here, and they have a safety. His name is Mookie Taff. Very, very eloquent young man, and I will not need to remind anybody that Georgia took care of Texas and patted him on the head and said, y'all are adorable. And now we kind of get the perspective of this young man. I hope I'm sure Rusty sent this immediately to Kirby, because this has got to be a moment of like, yeah, this is who we are. This is Mookie Taff talking about Kirby Smart.
Coach Smart is one of the most competitive coaches I've ever been against in my life. Like, physically hearing him on the sideline when I'm playing defense, I'm like, who is this maniac? And it's their head coach trying to, you know, get a call or get something in. And I think, you know, the team is embodied by the head coach, and he does a great job of embodying what their team is all about. And I think, to be honest, they out-physicaled us in that first game, and so we got to come with physical nature and a sense of pride, and knowing that, you know, if we want to get to where we want to go in December, then we got to beat those guys.
I'm not sure if head coach Steve Sarkisian will appreciate one of his players admitting defeat like that. We got out
shocked.
Physical.
I was shocked he said it.
I love that. I love it. And he but also said Kirby Smart is a maniac.
He's a maniac.
I
Who
think most people could agree with.
Who's this guy screaming? It is true, though. But, you know, I believe in the come to Jesus moment. If you say it out loud, like, we got to look at ourselves in the mirrors. We got out physical to every part of the game. Steve Sarkisian did not have a great day yesterday, and it began when he was introduced at the podium, which we'll talk about that a little bit later. I got a little nugget of something that happened.
How about that?
But this Scottie Scheffler story, Drew Butler, is something I want to talk about with you.
Yeah, going to be awesome. The Open Championship starts in the wee hours of the night tonight in Northern Ireland at Royal Portrush Golf Club. And Scottie Scheffler, the world number one golfer, faced the media yesterday, and he held court. Sandra and I are going to break it down right after the break. That was the tailgate presented by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. When we come back at the 10 o'clock hour, yeah, we'll go into the world of golf and we'll touch on some other college football headlines.
And I think a lot of dads and really not even dads, moms, dads, priorities in life of so what you won the Masters. I think that's true. It's good. It's really good.
It's awesome.
We're going to make you cry in your car. You're welcome.
There you go. Drew Butler, Sandra Golden. This is the Steakhouse Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.